to the public. It's being recorded. And is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Hearing none, is there any trustee who would like something removed from the consent agenda? If not, I will take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Well, I think you're up for the first.
Yeah, so I have been trying to get an inventory of the policies put together, and it's still not complete, but I've made quite a bit of progress. And so basically what I found is there is a mix of policies and procedures. They include things like the board policies, operating policies, job descriptions, contracts, resolutions. What I found is that, first of all, we don't have a lot of signed versions of them. They're missing. I haven't been able to find them. The numbering scheme on them is inconsistent. Some of the signed copies may be in the archives at Cottonwood, but I have not been able to get over there to look. So this is the one big policy that we did talk about, 2017-63, which is that travel policy. It is the correct one, according to the minutes from last August, is on the website, and that's the one that Pat Wilson referenced last time. So that is the correct one.
Okay.
But that
was the 2017-63?
Yeah. And I have some, these are my recommendations to kind of get us back in a good spot with all of that, is to, for me to spend a little time, go look in the archives at Cottonwood one day, see what I can find, and then determine which items should have board approval. And I think that's something that the board can talk about. Is it just board policies? Is it procedures? Is it operating policies, job descriptions? And what are the things that the board should approve? And then I can recommend a simple, consistent format. That's another thing, the format's kind of different, and a numbering scheme. And then I do suggest that we kind of separate out policies from procedures. So policies are more static, mission-oriented. Procedures are going to change. It's just step by step, and those might change or evolve. And then where we don't have signed copies, get the board to reapprove all of them once they're cleaned up and are, you know, reformatted and ready to go. And then get everything posted on the website. So that would be my recommendations.
More discussion.
I think that we need to, you know, grab some of those old archive from the two departments. And I think it'd be awesome to have all brand new stuff made up, showing the new highlight board or the highlight department, rather than having old stuff and make everything look awesome.
That's my thing.
I do think, so what I've got in my inventory is just the highlight stuff starting from July 1st of 2016.
Okay.
Now I haven't seen all of it. Maybe some of it still has old verbs in it. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I was going under the assumption that it would all be highlight stuff.
I didn't know if there was older stuff that were.
There really isn't.
Okay.
Other than the old Candy Rose governance policy.
Those districts are dissolved, so they're all moving anyway.
Yeah.
More board discussion?
So is it the intent then that, Nick Schroeder, is it the intent then that we see if there's holes, if the board thinks that there's something that should be addressed as a policy, then we can fill that in and get a full set of things? Because I think there are some things that may be there that we don't know about, or maybe there's holes in not having them, because I think the bylaws kind of indicated that, you know, they're a kind of a main body of things, but the operating or policy part was something that had some of that force of a bylaw. It says how we're going to work. And so I think it's probably important to take another step in that process and fill out things that we think might be missing. I mean, I'm not sure what those all are. There's probably one or two things that I would suggest.
So, for example, in one of the, in the September 16 meeting, they talked about, somebody talked about a document retention policy. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that was in April of 2017. But there's nothing further on that. So, you know, that was a recommendation that we do that, but that doesn't exist, and there was no other mention of that in the subsequent meetings. So
here would be my suggestion. You know, we'll take some public comment and have more board discussion if we want to. First, thanks, Lana, for getting on this. I view this as sort of housekeeping issues that need to be done. And I would suggest to my fellow trustees that we let Lana keep digging on this, and that she brings forth in an organized fashion all the policies that she's been digging around. And certainly, unsigned policies should not be on the website. They should be taken down. And I think the correct thing for this board to do is to discuss each policy in a properly noticed meeting, and then approve those policies and sign them, so we just get up to speed. Now, there's a separate issue, and I think we should do this as well, in that once a year we should have a policy review meeting. That's the only agenda item that would happen at that board meeting. And we take a look at the policies. We could do it in conjunction with our bylaw review, and we just have everything on the table, and we take a look at them once a year and make sure they are where we want them to be. Now, there are policies that the board proposes and implements, such as the travel policy, and then there's a whole other set, which I'm just going to call, for convenience sake, operating policy, that the board is ultimately responsible for, but we delegate essentially to the chief. That would be job descriptions, the employee handbook, whatever else it is you got back there in binders. We ought to review those as well in that one board meeting. So that would be my thinking on how we move this forward and get it cleaned up and move to a better place.
Yeah, consistent approach is a good way to do it, I think.
Public comment on this agenda item. More board discussion on this agenda item?
I agree with you. It sounds awesome.
How's it sound to you, Lana? All right. We'll just hear another report back as you see fit, and whenever you're ready to have a decision, we'll notice that and move on to that. Financial dashboard. We're going to try to use our technology here to make it more accessible to people who come to the meetings, our public, and so we can all see what we're talking about. Maybe we'll even cut down on paper. We'll substitute carbon for paper.
Pete, I will go through this?
Yeah, I'll start this off. And it's not as big as I had hoped it would be.
Yeah, I can't. But I can make it bigger.
Let's just let people walk up to the screen if they want to see it. Do the trustees need hard copies in front of them, or are we good sort of going through?
It looks really nice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the genesis of this is my desire, having served on lots of nonprofit boards, to present financial information both for the public and for the governance bodies, us as trustees, in ways that are at a glance easy to see what's going on with important areas of the operation. I find too often we get 42 pages of profit and loss statements and warrants, and nobody pays attention to it. It's mind-numbing. It's hard for the public to know what's going on. So coming up with some sort of dashboard format, which is very common, which we can update at some regular period that is not onerous on our staff, that can go up on the website so people at a glance can see the financial condition of the organization, I think is really important. So there's a gazillion different ways to do this. Lana and Walt and Jason and I said, let's just get started. So this is one of those possible entities. Walt had a bunch of comments on it, and I view this as a totally iterative process. We're under no time constraint to get this done. And we should get input from the public about what they think is important. We should make sure the staff is good. And we should come up with something that's meaningful. So in the upper right-hand corner, there's a number of runs. That strikes me as relatively important and might be informative to the public. We have our general debt obligation down there that shows people how much we owe. That's important because at some point we could consider rolling back the mill levy if we've got the debt where we want it and we've got the capital where we want it. I've got some comments on the capital replacement fund. I think that's really, really important for the public to understand that we're setting money aside so we don't have to raise taxes to replace things as they break and wear out here, which they do, and those all the trustees know how expensive this business is in terms of replacing stuff. I think that's very important to show. And then we pick some, I don't know if it's arbitrary, but we pick sort of the biggest budget categories, and that's just a simple, actual to budget kind of projection going forward. I can't recall, Jason, what's that circular thing above the debt obligation?
Was that tax receipts?
That's tax receipts. And when I was talking with Jason about this, I think this should be accompanied by some textual explanation, because I bet the taxpayers don't have a really good understanding of the funding scheme under which we operate. So it looks like we have lots of money sitting in the bank, but we actually go through 6 months where we get no revenue coming in because the tax dollars only come twice a year, that sort of thing. So again, this is just my first attempt to get us thinking about how we might communicate this information more effectively. Probably, I'd like to see this stand alone and then maybe a page or a half a page of text explanation that we work on. And I got no ownership of this. All I want to do is throw this out and get us started down this road. And again, we can work on this offline. We can work on this during the meetings. And what I hope in 3 or 4 or 6 months or so, we have a product that we are all pretty happy with and the public likes and is providing better information. So, Lonnie, you sort of own this, as I understand it, with Jason. Is that right? So if there are trustee thoughts, comments, either on the concept or on the particular thing or something different, why don't we have a conversation about that?
I really like it. I think it looks awesome. Putting all the information out there, it's easy. I brought one that we use at our work.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as great as that, but it's...
but the point is the same.
It's awesome.
Yeah. More trustee discussion.
Yeah, I applaud the idea, especially the public involvement. I think there are some really key things, and I don't know how you do that in terms of comparisons to, say, last year and this year, or this year and possible future things, so that not only we see exactly kind of where we're at this moment, but maybe there's something that would help people see what the transition is.
And putting a bar graph of the last few years, or?
Well, there could be one graph of certain things that may be important, or it could be something, but I don't know what that is, because I haven't really looked at these. I just really think it's a great idea myself, but I think sometimes people like to compare where were we before, and one of the things that's come up several times, I think the Chief's mentioned, we have lots of building going on, so there is some more stuff coming in, and like Jason says, there's more cost to operating because you've got more places to go and more miles and so on. So somehow it kind of shows some of that. It isn't just all new money that we can do something with. It's integrated in, but here's where we were. It might be important 2 years to 4 years. I mean, you know, looking back 2 or 3 years and somebody sees something. For budgeting purposes, I think it's also probably a good tool. Just a thought to me.
Yeah. More board discussion.
I think it's a great idea as well. I don't think we should go back in time much more than the opening or beginning of the High Line Fire District. Because prior to that, it gets kind of muddled. It's all over the place with the ray and the...
Well, it would be an active utility because of the fire service area having a completely different revenue model. You know, I mean, we could, it'd be pretty easy to show tax revenues over the last 4 years. That would be a pretty easy metric to show, is what our tax revenues were over the last, you know, how they're increasing year to year. That would be a pretty easy metric.
Along with that metric, perhaps the growth, I mean, the number of taxpayer owners that have come up in each of those years. So you kind of see what the growth in revenues, because I think the whole population base, and maybe the commercial side is another piece. How many more commercial properties? Because I think they might be a big driver of purchasing equipment or needs or whatever, because they're building mega size buildings. That big thing out there is Ferguson Farm, that big building that's going out there. Is that part of our new district?
That's north.
Behind Sidewinder?
That's city.
Huh?
That's city.
That's still city. Well, see, and there's another. It's pretty hard, too, for the public to see exactly what the boundaries are. There's a chart, but yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Any public comment on this agenda item? Do you mind coming to the lectern and identifying yourself?
So how do you determine the number? Can you determine with tax receipts how many services you have to provide? I mean, the numbers of commercial, the numbers of, can you just assume that if the tax receipts go up, then you're serving more people percentage-wise? Is that how you determine how many buildings, how many houses, how many businesses? You know, I guess I was looking at this, and it doesn't really give me an idea of the size of the, you know, we've got the size of the service area, but the size of the...
So seeing how many customers
population.
We have?
Yeah, yeah.
The population that we take care of?
Yeah.
So we had a survey done a couple of years ago that told us approximately how many residents were in the Sourdough District, but that number changes daily.
We could potentially, and we can research this with the county, is to try to get a count of residential versus commercial buildings, structures.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, is the tax receipts a good idea of the growth?
Yes, in general, okay. But it doesn't give a breakdown of commercial versus residential, anything like that. But yes, if we are receiving more tax dollars in general, that means there's new structures being put up, because we're not increasing the mills, you know, without, so it is a good assumption. But and I don't know if any of you guys have ever sat down with Ed Blackman and had him try to explain the way that the tax structure is. It is a complicated monster of how the mill value and the mill rate, it all moves around. It is the most complicated thing I've ever tried to understand over the years. But in general, yes, increased tax revenues typically are indicative of increased number of structures.
If I see a 5% increase in tax receipts, I can pretty much assume that there's a 5% increase of the potential cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as far as how it relates to call, like our work level, that's a tough one. Yeah, that's a tough one, because even year to year, we'll have a year where we had a couple years ago we did 600 calls, and then the next year we did 550, and it should have gone up, but it was just the luck of the draw of whatever happened. People drove safer that year or something, you know, that it was pretty random in that way.
Okay, so, but I can make an assumption on the growth of the district corresponds directly with the tax receipts.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more public comment? More board discussion? I would suggest the way we move this forward is for Lana to send out the dashboard to all the trustees and just look at it when you have time and you're relaxed, and to give her feedback. And we'll just, again, just view this as a continuous improvement kind of process, we're under no timeline to do this, and I'd like to get it where everybody really likes it and is happy with it. On the capital improvement plan, I think you and I talked about this, Jason, but what I would like the trustees and the residents to be able to see is the total capital load that we project over time and how we're doing in funding that.
Right.
Because if there's a big delta, essentially we can close that gap in two ways. We can cut budget, or we can ask people to raise taxes. And I would just like the residents to be aware of where we sit, because the best place to be would be a fully funded capital replacement fund that is commensurate with replacement over time.
Yeah, we can do that.
That was the one change I had. And then maybe we can, you and I can take it offline and we can work on some tax and run it by Ed. You know, so we make sure we get it exactly right. But again, it's just kind of a reference for our residents to understand the taxing structure under which we work. Because it's, I've been in those meetings again.
It's crazy.
It's not fun.
So are we thinking maybe to have it updated by the board meeting once a month?
Well, I think what we have to be careful about is putting too much undue burden on staff. We have to just be sensitive to that, because of course what we want everybody doing is making sure we're providing service to customers. And we just have to see, get your recommendation. Once a quarter, it's kind of obvious. Once a month, maybe some of those things will change, some other ones won't, like tax receipts. I don't know what the right thing is, but the idea again is to make it a useful tool. So if we just start with that as a concept, let's just kick it around a little bit and see what we come up with.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see it once a month, if we can do that. So.
Okay.
But you know, it'll only be applicable to certain categories.
Right.
Budgets and
the capital replacement, whatever's going to be the same annually. And so they'll just, some of the stuff will change and some will be.
And I just can't remember that red box. Do we have roster numbers up there? What is the sort of operational?
Number of volunteers. Number of training.
Right.
Yeah.
And Lana and I work on, you know, trying to refine that a little bit.
Sure.
Try to figure out what makes sense to what people be interested in with that. And, you know, we'll continue to pick away at it.
So is that something like a plan? We'll just chip away at this and let's have it as an agenda item for the next meeting, and we'll just keep working forward, and we'll get to a good place eventually.
I like it. Great job.
I have a question. We've loaded Lana up with two real big things already. Are we going to get more hours for Lana?
It sounds like you will be a bit more. I bought more coffee, okay? It's going to be okay.
To yell uncle when she needs to yell uncle. And again, that's what I like about this. There's no time thing. And we can work on it as everybody has capacity and interest. Okay. Moving on to the board travel policy. Pat, thank you for bringing it to our attention.
And Pete, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to get it transferred.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. But I do have the printed copies.
Yeah, maybe you can hand out the motion that Walt suggested. So just a little background.
Thank you.
For everybody, we have a travel policy that was up on the website that was unsigned. As you heard in the first agenda item, there was some confusion to what we had actually approved, and there was concern about per diem rate. So we decided at the last meeting we'd do some investigation, which we've done, and we'd bring it back for reconsideration. So that's what we're going to do. So is there board discussion about this agenda item?
Yeah, Nick Schroeder here. I watched this policy unfold over the period of time it was brought up. And as a member of the public, the feeling seemed to be strongly that there needed to be a travel policy and that there needed to be a recognized amount for the per diem part, which this did address with the GSA government rate, because whether you're in Helena or Missoula or Hawaii, as I mentioned, or whatever, there is that rate. But I think the thing that caused everybody the heartburn, and I thank Pat for bringing it forth too, is that this 20% over the GS rate is not warranted. I don't think that's I just don't think that's necessary. And so I would be in favor of just having the GSA rate. Leave the rest of us down. I think the whole idea of getting travel education and travel policy to have that, I think it's great, but I think that 20% is what I would like to see that we maybe deal with.
More board discussion. Public comment on this agenda item.
Pat Wilson, are you surprised? First of all, thanks to whoever put this on the agenda item. I appreciate it coming back for review. I want to initially make the statement that I'm fully supportive of training at every level, whether it's trustees or your first hour, first day, volunteer firemen. I think it's important to keep learning, especially at trustee level when rules are changing. Policy is changing, and I think there needs to be a reasonable reimbursement for that. But as Nick has said, Pete has alluded to, this 120% has kind of been an issue to me since its inception and some of the language that was used, but that's water under the bridge. But I fully support the 100% per diem change. I've lived under GSA per diem rules since 1978. They're adjusted annually, they're adjusted by localities. And I've never turned in a claim and thought, gee, I wish I would have had 20% more, 10% more. They always seem pretty reasonable. And when you look at the meal breakdown, I'm just going to make up numbers, but if they allow you $50 a day for meals and incidental expenses in Bozeman, and then they identify $12 for breakfast, $12 for lunch, and $26 for dinner, that's not how you reimburse. You reimburse it for $50. Whether you spend $8 for the day or $55 a day. So, you know, since 1978, I've never had a problem with 100% reimbursement. So I appreciate this coming back for rediscussion, and I appreciate the move to bring it back to 100%. That's what I would hope and encourage you to consider, and the rest of the policy looks fine to me. So thank you.
Thank you. More and more discussion. Okay, we have a motion that Walt Zydak, who's not here, his daughter's giving birth down at Dillon tonight, so we will excuse him, has put forward. Does everybody in the public have a copy of the motion in front of them? That'll save me from reading it. Do I have a motion to place the motion on the table?
So, well, basically, this is going to be worded just like as is, except the 120 goes to 100.
Precisely.
Okay. I'll second that.
All those in favor of adopting the motion as written?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all for your good work on that one. All right. Chuck, is this you and Nick? Bylaws?
Yeah.
We get copies of the Walt and I agreed in our committee meeting.
Did you make copies of that?
Sure.
Yeah, I think when we're doing this kind of stuff, just in the future, if we can get it to Lana so we can all have copies, it'd be great. Hopefully, we can use our big screen TV to better effect, which will save us having moments like this. So talk amongst yourselves.
Walt's in Dillon with his daughter, who's going to give birth today.
What's that?
What are they? Is birth today for Walt?
Yeah. They went flying out of here this afternoon.
So my son's girlfriend is in the hospital right now.
So what are you doing here?
Well, she's not giving birth. That's not my baby, so.
I don't want to take the lead here, but I can.
No, go ahead, Nick. You're doing great.
I was a member of the committee.
Yeah, sure.
Secretary of the
You can report out, Nick.
I think with the intent of our meeting, Secretary and I, and the direction of last meeting was in the bylaws, the minutes were described, and in November of 16, the board decided that the recording would be the official minutes. And what the attempt of this bylaw is to do is to correct it, to show that, in fact, the official recordings are the bylaw, are the official minutes, and then also to clarify that the synopsis that by law has to be written with the recorded minutes, which Lana has been putting out very capably, is a part of that methodology or part of the law, and then it will also then include that the synopsis would be approved at the meetings simply because if Lana doesn't get or somebody doesn't get the correct wording, then there could be a change in the synopsis at the meeting to correct that. So, and what this handout you have is the original minutes that exist, and then the suggested below. And Chuck corrected, and we corrected as instead of at. That was a typo on my part. But anyway, if you want to read that really quickly, the committee then, Chuck and I, recommend section 3.5 minutes read as this. And we really, I don't think, by the bylaws can adopt that tonight. All we can adopt is that the board accepts this as what we would like it to be, and then the bylaws call for this to be brought forth as a public hearing at the next meeting, and then at that point it could be voted on.
So the two things I remember was the minutes, and under consent agenda, Nick came up with an idea that I thought was kind of good. Under the consent agenda, you've got your approval of financial report and warrants. And I kind of agree with Nick on this. We should also do the approval or signing of the previous month's synopsis by the chair and the secretary under consent agenda, which right now we have the two items. There would now be three. Third one being approval of the synopsis from the previous month's. And then the second thing, which was he's been talking about, is just changing the minutes to pretty much what he's got down here in red. And that's it.
Board discussion.
Didn't we used to sign for approval of the minutes?
Yes.
When they were written minutes.
When they were
as opposed minutes. To recorded.
Okay.
But the recorded one is now the official.
So are we downloading this and putting it on a hard drive? And
it's going on the website.
Okay, so it's all there, okay.
Yeah.
The minutes and the synopsis.
And I've already expressed this to Nick, but I'll let you guys know too. The only thing to be cognizant of is that as this is written, you will be putting a synopsis on the website that has not been approved by the board yet. Whether you guys care about that or not, but it is...
It will be on the website before it's approved.
Correct.
Staff comments, thoughts?
I would also suggest if you are going to approve and sign the synopsis, I suggest that the board come up with some very specific guidelines on what should be in that synopsis. The MCA is very vague on that. And so I think I've kind of made it up as I go, but so I think if it's actually going to have your signatures on it, there needs to be some real specifics about what needs to be in it. I mean, because my view, based on the MCA, is it really just needs to be a timestamp of the head, you know, the headings of the agenda items.
That's correct.
Really no content other than the votes, the motions and the votes.
Right.
But I've been adding some detail, but I, you know, that's really, since it's really not the official minutes, the synopsis.
More discussion.
Nick here, the wording in that law says that the substance of the meeting is to be reported, and therein is the rub, in the sense that it needs to be something that is somewhat has some substance. You don't say this is the motion and yay or nay. There's something about the substance. It isn't designed to give all the details and discussion. That's certainly the official recorded minutes. But the substance of what's there, and as I've watched Lana do this for the last 3 or 4 or 5 meetings since she's been doing it, she covers that quite nicely. She does enough detail so that somebody can see some substance to it, and then if somebody's really interested, they go to the official minutes. So I think she doesn't give herself enough credit. I think she's does a real good job of giving that synopsis. And yes, you could look and say, oh, there was a little more detail here or there. No, that isn't the point. The point is that the synopsis, but at the same time, to protect her, or if somebody comes up with something that could be a change, some names left off, for example, or some little fact that gives one chance to say, all right, we agree with the synopsis, we think it's got this enough substance in it to justify what the law asks for under substance.
Right, well, and for clarification, what it discusses about substance is referring to written minutes. It is right here. It says, if the meetings are recorded and designated as the official record, a log or timestamp for each main agenda item is required for the purpose of providing assistance to the public in accessing that portion of the meeting.
Nick, let me ask you this question. What is, in your mind, the problem that you're trying to solve here with these changes to the bylaws? What would you like to see that's not being done now?
Well, I think this change of the bylaw we're putting here simply reflects that we are accepting the recorded minutes as the official minutes. And if somebody went to our bylaws and looked at it, it has nothing in here about recording. Mm-hmm. That's the basic change. The second part of that is that originally the synopsis was being placed under the consent agenda, and I think it has a place to be there because there's one more opportunity to say we missed something in the synopsis, maybe something's misleading, and it just gives more confidence and also a better direction for somebody to say, oh, that's an interesting topic, and there's a little bit more in there because I know what the substance is. I'm going to go back and listen to it. So I think it's a communication piece right there. I think the previous board sort of said, well, since it's the official minutes, the synopsis doesn't have to be looked at.
Okay, I take back what I said. I read this more carefully, Nick. I think you're right about the substance piece, even when it's recorded. I take it back. I think you're right about the substance.
God, that's magnanimous of you.
No, I'm just saying, man. I mess up all the time. All right. But I read this more carefully. I think
let
right.
The chair exercise his authority here for a moment so we can keep things moving along. So as I understand, Nick, we've got first is changing the bylaws to reflect the official minutes are now recorded. You achieve that in the first sentence. It starts all meetings.
Right.
Okay. Second part is a removal of the synopsis from the consent agenda so that it's signed, or?
No, put it into the consent agenda so that before the president and the secretary sign it, it's had a chance to be vetted by the public, and it's a protection to Lana and so on. And then that becomes the official, we agree that that's a real good representation, including
So we got one, official minutes are recorded. That seems to me pretty straightforward. Two, synopsis on the consent agenda. That seems to me to be pretty straightforward. Three, the synopsis is signed at that meeting, right?
The previous month's synopsis.
The previous month's synopsis are signed.
At the next meeting.
And are they assigned like right after the consent agenda, or do we create a whole new agenda item? What would you take on that?
That we didn't discuss. But we certainly, I would say sign them after the meeting.
Signed after the meeting.
Yeah, to prove that part of the consent agenda, and it could be brought forth onto the agenda as consent agenda items are.
I have no problem with those three items. Question now. We don't want to just make more work for you.
Good.
Right?
Right.
We have to be sensitive to that. All this stuff comes at a cost. We get to pontificate, but somebody has to do the work. It's not us, by the way, mostly. So we need some input on that. And then a sense of best practices. What might you recommend as a best practices? And what I'd like to do, first, thank you for working on this, you two. Appreciate that. What I'd like to do is bring this back again at the next board meeting, because this is, certainly not a life-threatening kind of a thing, to make sure we give you some time to think about what this really means in your day and to see what best practices are out there and to frame up really what you're trying to achieve, Nick, which as I understand it are these 3 points. The official minutes are recorded, that's a change in the bylaws. The synopsis goes on the consent agenda and then we sign the previous months. I'd like that as sort of the rationale for this bylaw change. And I'd like Walt to be here too, so if we can have it as an agenda item on the next meeting, that would make me happy.
I can do that.
Now, is there any public comment on this agenda item?
Pat Wilson, I think they're all good changes, and I just wanted to pass on thanks to Nick and Chuck for working on that, especially Lana for the expanded synopsis, because that was very helpful to look through to see if there's points where you may want to go back and listen to the meeting. So I think everything is moving forward in a very positive meeting, so thank you.
Is there any more board discussion? I think it's a sense of the chair that we've asked Lana to do some work and bring it back and have another conversation next month. Does that sound reasonable?
So for Lana's,
for her
mental health, in general, you guys are pretty happy with how she's doing the synopsis.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
And I really do think, trustees, and I'm going to be a little bit hard-ass about this, we have people who have a job, and job number one is making sure the department is run in a responsible financial manner, and job number two, closely related to that, is providing service to our residents in time of need. So we have to be careful about the burdens that we place on administrative staff. Said my piece. All right, moving on. Chief Ravisky, aside from mountain biking all over Utah, what else have you been doing?
I'm going to have Brian Nicolai present this report since he created it in my absence.
It's a pretty standard report. We're up to 213 calls, maintaining 48 volunteers on our roster. Resident is full to capacity. 8 people still living at Sourdough, and the 3 over there paying rent at the Ray House. Recruit Academy is just about finished up. They're going to do their last bit of testing with the state on Saturday. Or actually, they just finished their last testing with the state this past Saturday. So they just about have another week to go before they'll be on the streets responding to calls. And they've all done very well in the class to get to this point. Command trainings are still running twice a month. And we ran mutual aid, helped Gateway out with the structure fire down in Four Corners. And everything's still running and nobody's hurt.
Dalmatians are healthy?
Yes.
Well fed.
It did make it onto the report, but also remember wildfire awareness barbecues next Wednesday.
There's no irony in that. The wildfire awareness barbecue in the high grass.
Right. Kind of interesting note for the board, and I'll make this quick, but when I was down in Moab, came out of dinner, walked out in the parking lot, you could see a plume of smoke coming up in small town of Moab. They had an 8.7 acre grass fire in the city, burnt down 10 houses. 8.7 acres.
Was the department out on the White River Trail or what?
I don't know. I mean, right in the city municipal water supply. Real deal stuff. I think one of the worst fires in the town's history to lose that many structures on 8.7 acres. North wind, about 15 miles per hour. Not even tragic conditions, but yeah, not a lot of mutual aid in Moab, Utah.
No. So. Board discussion on the chief's report.
Nick Schroeder here. Question related to went by Gooch Hill and Stuckey one morning here a while back. And in Craig's field, he was happy. I saw him fencing later. Pickup truck laying on its side, it was T-boned over, and I think there was an injury, and so on and so forth. And I didn't stop to chat with anybody, obviously. It was a pretty busy deal. A question I have, the one I've been thinking about, I almost got T-boned there myself. It's a very dangerous intersection. And I would ask, is there any way that the fire department can help talk to the county roads, which I was going to do. My thinking is if we put rumble strips on Blackwood, which seems to be where people blow that stop sign, and maybe take down there those flashing stop signs that are going to be replaced by the roundabout at Stuckey and Cottonwood, and put them on the stop signs, would that maybe signal some whoop-whoop on each side, and maybe some people that are coming up would recognize there is a stop sign before going across Gooch Hill, because that's one big accident, and I was within about 30 seconds of being T-boned myself one time, and there had been several other accidents there. So I don't know, does the fire department ever ask for something like that? Is that something, or should I just do that as a citizen?
Yeah, believe it or not, you may have more influence as a citizen than we would as a fire department, but I'm happy to call George Durkin and make that suggestion. They do study those accidents. I mean, that's what's produced things like the stoplight at Huffine and Gooch and other things, is studying accidents at particular intersections or other sites, or putting up guardrail in certain areas. I'd be happy to call them and make a suggestion.
And maybe you have a better idea too. It seemed rather low cost, low tech, but maybe it would save one accident.
I just want to make one observation. I mean, no disrespect to your suggestion, but we have to be very careful as trustees when we make suggestions and Jason says, why don't I call and do this? I think that those sort of life safety issues, these guys are on the front lines, they see it every day. If you would like to call as a private citizen, obviously no problem with that, but let's be really careful about individual board members reaching out to staff and asking them to do things. Just a cautionary note.
Yeah, and I wasn't necessarily asking so much as seeking information.
I understand.
I very much appreciate being eager to
please, our staff is going to respond that kind of way. So just a cautionary note.
And Nick, I did get your car washed this morning, so everything's
nice. Did you get my
dog? It's in the back.
You didn't clean the floor mat, so I'm a little upset.
Yeah, we had to go to that car accident at Gooch Hill. Hey, and by the way, Nick did bring this up to me. It is in the bylaws. We made a quick org chart, so I threw it out to you guys. Pretty simple.
Okay, public comment on the chief's report. More board discussion than you support. Okay, thank you. We're moving on. Trustee activities. So this is mine. There are handouts here for members of the public if you would like them. Next week?
Yeah.
26th. We're having a work session, and we're talking about organizational goals and visioning, and I think this is going to be very productive, especially since we have a new board. And really try to think about what we want the fire department to be going forward. We're going to use some tools that I've used in my work for almost a decade that work very, very well. Of course, the public is welcome to come, but it is a work session for the board. So it's no decisions will be made. we're just going to sit and talk about this. We'll have probably many of these kind of meetings. When the session is over, board members, I'm sure, will be happy to hang around and talk to the public about what we're trying to do. I have Lana print these in advance, so you could take a look at them. I don't know, Lana, if this stuff will be posted on the website so the public can see it.
I can.
If they're interested in coming to the work session. And that's really it. I would encourage all board members to spend some time with these documents so we can have a productive meeting. And we'll be at it for about an hour. I don't want to go much longer than an hour and a half. Things just tend to lose productivity going forward. So please do come prepared. Maybe we'll have some coffee, water, or something like that. And that's it. Are there other trustee activities that you'd like to report out on?
I guess the only thing I would say or add is that typically July is a month off for the trustees, and I see no reason to break from that tradition.
Are you saying you don't want to come to a board meeting in July?
That's kind of what I'm saying.
This is still June.
I know.
Well, so you he slipped it in on us.
No, I knew the 26th one was coming, but the July meeting I...
We got into that habit when we had a farmer who was chair of the board, my friend.
He's a wise man.
He's a wise man. We'll take that under advisement. If we have no work, I see no reason to meet if we get nothing going on. Anything else under trustee activities? Any public comment on that agenda item? Any announcements? Other than work session on the 26th, tell your friends and family.
That's going to be on the web and advertised in the paper.
It'll be noticed just like any other meeting, is my understanding.
It's a regular meeting, recorded.
So is that your understanding, Mark?
It's not a regular meeting, it's a work session.
Yeah, I thought I had been told not to put it in the paper, but I certainly can. We're still.
I think you should just notice it.
On the website. And in the paper.
Just let's say the standard practice. So if you've been in the habit of putting it in the paper, let's just keep it in the paper.
So these public meetings are in the paper, so that's
okay. Yeah. Okay. And if we can get those documents on the website so people can have access to them, that's great. Mm-hmm. Anything else, trustees? Okay, meeting is adjourned.